All right, that music can be annoying one thing.
We know that's true.
A congressman of the official district of the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis, he only represents us. He does not represent an actual district.
I think he'd probably contest that.
I prefer that. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, the star of stage and screen and all of the rest, is joining us. And a serious question. Let me ask you your thoughts on the situation in Venezuela. We are now being told that Maduro, and you were one of the first guys to raise an alarm. In the middle of all like the Mueller report coming out, you went out and go, hey, I know there's like a, I know that people want to know about the Mueller report, but this Venezuela situation is big.
Yeah, it's real.
So Maduro was the guy who they claim stole the election, who's the Russian puppet, essentially. He was all planned to get on an airplane and leave the country today, and the Russians talked him out of it, according to Mike Pompeo. What do you know about that?
Yeah, that's pretty... I saw this when you guys did, it's probably 20 minutes ago. And look, I know Mike Pompeo well, and I'm going to tell you he's not going to say that if it's not true. That's pretty incredible, the fact that this morning... Maduro was ready to leave. He was ready to get sanctuary, I guess, and he was looking for Cuba or Nicaragua or something. Probably Nicaragua was next to go, so I'm sure he wasn't going to go there. But and the fact that, you know, the Russians basically then kind of did the old, hey, let's surround him and quote-unquote convince him that it's in his best interest to stay. And I think that's a very important part in this is, you know, when we talk about what is actually at stake here, like some people try to turn this into a Republican Democrat thing. It's not, okay? Some people try to, you know, it's not this. This is the Russians trying to have a piece of the Western Hemisphere, the Chinese. The Chinese shut the internet down today and basically sitting here saying, you can't leave because it's in our interest for you to stay. So this is we should all be rooting for the legitimate government of Venezuela to win, and this will set Central Latin America on the right path for a while. And last I want to say is this quickly. When we see all this, you know, this immigration crisis or this you know, these refugees, and we talked about that, who cares what you think about the wall? That's not important. What matters, though, is people are fleeing failed countries or fleeing corrupt countries. If we have countries that listen to the will of the people that aren't corrupt, you're not going to have this problem because people will want to stay in the country they were born in. So it's just there's so much at stake right now. It's unbelievable.
All right, we're going to have to fix your phone, unfortunately. I don't know how.
What's wrong with my phone now? Know, is it better?
It's crackling, kicking in and kicking out. You're on a landline, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in, it's Congress, so who knows?
I believe it's the Russians listening in.
It could be the Russians.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, the Russians, even the Russians don't realize, just put on 720 AM.
Yeah, that's
You'll hear this.
That's all you have to do. Is it any better now?
No. Can you move phones? Can we call you in 1 second?
Yeah, you know, I can try to call you back. I'll call you back on my cell phone, I guess.
All right.
Is this any better?
can we hear you now?
Yeah, let me try it now. Anything? Nothing?
It just goes in and out.
Okay, let me just try it again.
All right. Call us back on the cell phone.
Take two. I'll do that again.
There he goes. Congressman Kinzinger calling us back on the cell phone. This is like when you're talking to your brother from across the country. Mm-hmm. Hey, your phone's breaking up. Call me back.
How come the people whose phones are breaking up can never hear that their own phones are breaking up? Have you noticed that?
No, he's making
he thought it was fine.
He was making a speech. That's why. Because he was on a roll. I'm like that, too. I have no idea if it's working or not.
It's like, wow, I can't hear you.
Once I'm on a roll, I don't care.
This is better.
Yes, that's better. All right, there you go.
Okay. Well, it's the government. You can blame the government, not me. It's their phone.
Yeah, I would. I'd like to blame the government for a lot of things right now. But So Venezuela's a big deal.
Yeah.
You think that is going to send a little bit of a different perspective about whether Russia is, you know, like, representing our interests very well? Because I think there's a lot of people in the country who are like, well, who cares about Russia? Russia is a malign actor, are they not?
Yeah, they are. And it's not even just the Russians, it's the Chinese. They all have their own interests. And they've looked at this and said, look, with Venezuela, so we have to do a bit of history here. So Cuba used to be their sugar daddy was the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union falls. Cuba needed a new sugar daddy, and they turned to Venezuela. Venezuela became their sugar daddy because now, you know, they had oil money. So then Venezuela, Maduro takes over. You had the declining oil revenue in Venezuela prior with Chavez, but Maduro comes in, and the guy drove a bus. That was his job before he became basically dictator, and he puts all his friends in charge of the oil company. Oil revenues start collapsing. Obviously, Venezuela, which used to be the richest country in South America, begins falling. And now all of a sudden, Cuba loses sugar daddy number two. So Cuba sends 20, we believe they have 25,000 troops right now in Venezuela, basically surrounding Maduro. And Russia looks at this whole thing and goes, okay, Cuba, Venezuela, both are big interests in this hemisphere, are both about to fail. It's important that we get involved. So look, this is, Russia is a malign actor. They want nothing more than to have a piece of our hemisphere. And by the way, we have to keep the military option on the table, because if there's anywhere that the military should be on the table, it's in our own hemisphere that we've neglected for so long.
What is a military activity? What does that look like in terms of dealing with this situation where there's an illegitimate ruler and the United States doesn't recognize that person, but the guy they do recognize doesn't seem to have the military support and no clear path to getting in power?
So that's the key, is he doesn't appear to have the military support right now. And the reason is not because the military hates him. It's because the military gets paid by Maduro. And I'll tell you, that's what's in their interest, is how to protect my family. If you're a soldier in the military, you're looking at it and going, gee, I got to pay the bills for my family. So I think the United States having a legitimate military option on the table and a show of force. A show of force can be things like taking over the airspace of Venezuela, making sure people see American jets over Venezuela, having military pre-position in Colombia, for instance, or Curacao, moving aid into the country. What that does is it makes it clear to the Venezuelan military that they don't want to be on the receiving end of a U.S. military intervention. And I actually think that makes it way more likely that the military turns against Maduro and with the people of Venezuela, and we never find ourselves in a shooting war in the first place.
Okay, so you have to convince the military is what you have to do. Now, Bob Baer was on with us a couple of hours ago. You know who he is, formerly of the CIA, and he talked about how it does appear that some of the intel has been faulty here in terms of understanding that our strategy at the moment does not take into account that, and neither does Guaido, the guy who's doing this, trying to get certain elements of the military to go along with him, because he doesn't have the entire military going along with him. A military coup is when you got the lead generals telling all their guys, we're going this way. You don't have a couple generals over here and a couple generals over there. You got to have consensus in the ranking class in a military institution, especially in that third world, ascendant third world kind of a country, right? Because often the military class are all related to each other in some way.
Right.
Such as uncle or grandfather or whatever, right? So that's where you've got to find a way to make sure that you've got everybody sort of squared away. And I don't know that you necessarily have had that happen in Venezuela yet. And you hate to think that we're coming to this a little late or flat-footed, because you do, as we've known, the Chinese have been there and the Russians are there and Hezbollah is there. The Iranians are there. Mm-hmm. So, everybody and all those guys are getting together. And that also has to give us a little bit of pause about how we're dealing with the rest of the world here, and specifically the Russians. And I'll take you to this question. What are we going to do about the Russians? What is Congress doing about the Russians not interfering or trying to at least push back on their interference in our elections?
Yeah, well, so that's okay. This is a whole bunch of things. Let me just say on a couple of that. The question of Venezuela is this a coup? And this is going to sound like I'm splitting hairs. This is not a coup. This is the legitimate government of Venezuela pushing out the
John
illegitimate
Bolton said,
dictator.
I agree with him there, too.
Yeah, and so the point on that, though, is so you don't have to, if you're going to do a coup and you're going to overthrow a legitimate government, you do need the whole military. In this case, you just have to have morality and the people on your side, which he does.
Yeah, but you still need the military to go with you. You do still need the military to go.
And that's why I think everything we understand is they're on the verge of it, but they need to know that this is serious, right? The other thing is, on the Russian situation, yes, I agree with you 100%. We need to be more clear about the fact that the Russians want to interfere on the election. The Russians do interfere on our elections. Undermining democracy is the interference of the elections. And so we need to confront them both in that, which is making it clear that it's happening and admitting it, so that people understand what misinformation is and disinformation, going on the offense against Russians. So let's do a little of the same thing they do to us in Russia, because that's the biggest fear of Vladimir Putin, is losing his own power base, and then continue to confront him on the energy. energy thing, which I think we're doing really well, which is right now they have two sovereign wealth funds. One's already drained. The other's about halfway gone because oil is so low right now that they just can't afford to continue to sustain. So there's a lot of areas to confront them. But I think the first thing is being very clear that it's actually happening.
With Russia's involvement at such a high level, including what Secretary of State Pompeo said, that they, you know, there was a jet ready to take Maduro out of his country and, you know, the legitimate ruler would have taken over, but Russia intervened. The president an hour ago said only really called out Cuba, asking them to cease military actions, or there will be sanctions, or there will be an embargo, or there will be some sort of reaction, did not call out Russia.
Well, I don't think there's anything to read into that, because I'll tell you, I've met with the president in the Oval Office, and he mentions Russia a number of times. But I think the reality is Russia has maybe a few hundred troops there, or Wagner Group people there, maybe a little more than that. The Cubans have 25,000 military right now in Venezuela.
Yeah, but they're not going to do anything Putin doesn't tell them to do.
Aren't they backed by...
Yeah. Yeah, right. But I think the point is, look, the Cubans... Don't get involved, because like we have an immediate ability to blockade your country. We can't threaten a blockade, obviously, against Russia or anything else. So I don't think it's a lack of, you know, not wanting to confront Russia. I just think it was Cuba's the near term threat. And I've talked to folks in the administration that say that they've been hoping, you know, in essence, this whole day that there would be a confrontation against Cuba, verbally at least, to call out the act that they're playing.
All right. And one more thing right before we let you go. The infrastructure plan, and we're going to start with fixing the phones in Congress. $2 trillion. Chuck and Nancy came out of the Oval Office today, and they said they met with the president. The president, they all sat around, they talked, and they agreed on $2 trillion. That was kind of nice. We thought, okay, now bipartisan, an agreement. Everybody likes the idea of infrastructure. There's, you know, it's jobs, jobs, jobs. It's good. It's getting, you know, roads and internet highway and all the rest of that stuff up to the 21st century. Great. Everybody likes it. Then 2 hours later, Mick Mulvaney, the acting chief of staff for the White House, says, well, you're going to be investigating the president. He's not going to negotiate with you on an infrastructure deal. Is that a dangle? Is that what that is? Like, and can you dangle stopping a congressional investigation in exchange for doing the people's work?
No, look, I think, so there's enough blame to go around on this. I've heard of a Democrat in Illinois that I won't call out by name that basically told a group of Farm Bureau members that he won't vote for the USMCA because he doesn't want to give the president a win this year, and literally said that. At the same time, you know, for us to say we're not going to do anything with Democrats because you're investigating the president is wrong. Let's just do what's right. I think infrastructure is the right thing to do as long as we can find a way to pay for it. It's, you go to any other country around the world that's got a robust infrastructure plan, and it almost brings a tear to your eye. That's what the U.S. should be doing. So let's just all of us get away from our, like, partisan entrenchments for the moment and just do what's right for the country, and then let the elections work themselves out anyway.
See, that's why you should be president of the United States, but you're not.
Right, I'm not.
So I don't know what to do about that. All right. I hate to remind you, but that's true. All right, Adam Kinzinger. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Congressman.
Goodbye.
Take care, guys.
All right, he's still a congressman, though.
Yeah, he is. That's a big deal. Pelosi, by the way, accepted a Tic Tac from Trump at one point during the infrastructure meeting.
So did she do that thing where she was kind of coughing and she needed something?
Yeah. Was it an orange Tic Tac?
Did she like a Tic Tac?
I didn't see what color.
Tic Tac.
But
his Tic Tacs are white. I'm going to tell you that right now. Yeah,
orange skin.
He's not going with the orange Tic Tac
to match his hair or his face.
No. He eats them like candy.
No, he's going with the white Tic Tac.
Yeah, I thought that was a moment.
Remember
of diplomacy.
The Tic Tacs when he was on the bus, yeah. Right? I like to pop a Tic Tac in the mouth because I just start kissing them. Oh God! Did he kiss Nancy?
No,
I'd like to see those two together. I think those two make kind of a handsome couple.
Well, it's a closed door meeting, so you don't always get to know what happens in these meetings.
And Melania would be relieved. Don't come near me. All right, let's check now. Find out what Kim's working on at the top of the hour.
Ro, we're hearing two dead and several people shot at the North Carolina University at Charlotte this afternoon.